The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Thursday, June 11th. Oh, this is the second time it's our second podcast of the day on June 11th because we were doing the All 32, craftily named by producer Devo. We run through all 32 NFL teams, and we are chatting Packers with good friend of the program, Aaron Nagler. Aaron, what's up, buddy?
Not much, Will. Thanks a lot for having me. Honored to be here talking Packers with you on the All 32.
So that means on the All 32, we have today on June 11th, we have both the Vikings and the Packers.
I can't believe it's June 11th. Crazy. I can't even believe it. We're like almost to mid-June. It's going to be training camp before you know it. It's crazy.
Well, knock on wood, we get training camp.
I'm proceeding with hope, Will. Nothing but hope right in front of me. I
like to roll into things with a backup plan, which seems to be what the Packers did this offseason.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm professional. So I was excited to have you on because now you've been on this program. You've been on the show a couple times, right?
A couple times, yeah.
At least once or twice. Mm-hmm. We're good pals. We've hung out in real life.
We have
gotten wasted at the combine.
Indeed.
And you have been a persistent tweeter of
who, me?
I want to say pro Packers propaganda, which
some would say.
There are not many people out there who defended the Jordan Love pick as well as the AJ Dillon pick. You did it. So I would ask you this. Why?
Here's the thing. It's not so much a defense of the picks, right? It's just trying to acknowledge the fact that we have no idea. We have zero clue how these picks are going to work out. I understand that the draft industrial complex works itself up into a lather when teams go against the grain or don't do what is expected. Fans especially spend months consuming this content and finding these names and creating their lists, etc. And then when teams, especially the Packers, do something that flies in the face of that, people get all up in arms and the grades come out and people fail their draft and blah, blah, blah. And all I want is a little acknowledgement that, look, we all know draft grades aren't worth the pixels they're printed with. Let's let things play out and see how things develop. And maybe the reasoning behind the Jordan Love pick and the A.J. Dillon pick and whoever knows whatever pick, maybe they had some reasonings. Maybe let's watch and see how they develop and see how the team actually utilizes that talent. Maybe they have a plan. I don't know. Call me crazy. I know. It's nuts.
No.
The Packers have won a boatload of games. It's not like they're just like sitting back, like flying blind.
And I would say too that, and I tried to do this throughout the process of discussing, because it's easy, right? It is easy to like sit back and just in this draft, which is a deep draft, and a good first round with a lot of wide receivers.
A ton of wide receiver talent, no doubt.
A lot of times over the past 3 or 4 years, just because for whatever reason, college classes have been a little bit deeper. It's hard to find, everybody has to find a winner or a loser. Everybody has to find a good grade, bad grade. It's hard to find losers in a deep draft, and the Packers and Aaron Rodgers were an easy, cherry to pick.
Super easy target. And especially when, look, you know the narrative that's out there now about running backs when you talk about the devaluing of the position and then the Packers turn around and pick a bigger bruising back in the second round. You knew the internet was going to have a field day with that one. It's this whole idea of – and what's really odd about that pick to me, and this is where I'm on board with kind of scratching my head, because if you look at the Packers' MO, whether it's with Gutekunst or Ted Thompson or whoever's been in charge, basically their personnel group as a whole – has seemed to operate in that regard, meaning, they picked three backs in a row a couple years ago, and they obviously found a gem in Aaron Jones, found a really productive guy in Jamal Williams. You go back to when Ted Thompson was in charge and when they didn't make the trade for Marshawn Lynch, What they did do that year was turn around and snag somebody off of Atlanta's practice squad. That's been traditionally their approach to that position. So to see them turn around and then use a premium pick on a running back, I got to admit, I was surprised. But again, they love that player. They wanted to make sure he was on their team, and they certainly did that.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If A.J. Dillon, and I think here's the thing that worked against the Packers as well, is that where they were in the first round, they missed out on a run of wide receivers. Like a bunch more wide receivers went in the first round than they thought that they would. I mean, Jalen Reagor goes earlier than people probably thought to the Eagles. Then the Vikings grab Justin Jefferson. Then Brandon Ayuk goes to the 49ers. And all of a sudden, who, by the way, traded up to make sure they got Ayuk.
Got him,
all of a sudden, if you're the Packers, you're like, okay, if we don't love T. Higgins and Michael Pittman, we don't want to take a wide receiver with our first round pick. But they did.
Here's the other thing, though. Yeah. You have to think they had the plan had to be going into this draft that they were going to get Jordan Love. There's no way they're sitting there at 30.
Well, this is why they trade up.
They use a fourth round pick to go up and get him. It's clear that that was the plan. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's why I push. And like I try to like play devil's avocado, if you will, with myself. Like in the sense, it's sort of like the Aaron Rodgers thing in the sense that, oh, hey, look, you know, we have a Hall of Fame quarterback on the roster, 35 years old, playing great MVP caliber football, and we drafted somebody in the first round. Like, what are we doing? At the same time, it's not like the Aaron Rodgers thing because, like, Aaron Rodgers could have been the first overall pick. It was between him and Alex Smith.
And that's the pushback you've heard a lot of that.
Then the unexpected fall. And I agree with you. Like, the plan couldn't have been, if Jordan Love falls, boy, what a slip. Yeah, I know. Right, of course, it's Rodgers. But it's like, if Jordan Love falls this far, and then you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's there at he's there at 26. It's like, he was always going to be there at 26.
He was, most likely. I just have to think that in their evaluation. Now, it could be wrong. It could be right. We'll find out. That's the joy of this. And that's what is going to make it so difficult for the next couple of years because, you know, they're not going to force him out of the field. They don't need to. They've got Aaron Rodgers locked up for another 3-4 years. So we're going to have to sit here and wait and watch the little snippets we get of training camp and preseason action, et cetera. But you look at his athletic upside. You look at his ceiling. I understand it. I get it. You especially look at that 2018 tape, and you get it, man. Like, that kid, he has some incredible, incredible stuff on tape. Now,
if he comes out of the – I made this point a couple of months ago, I think, but, like, if you took his 2018 and 2019 and Joe Burrow's 2018 and 2019 and you flipped them out.
If Burrow
wins a title in 2018 and then lays an egg in 2019, people are like, whoa. Yep. How do you follow that up with that? Whereas if Love takes a step from this year into 2018, people are like, this kid could be the first overall pick. I mean, like that's
the other thing too, is there's so many kind of external things that he couldn't control in 2019. I mean, obviously the turnovers went way up. But he lost a ton of his supporting cast. He had a new coaching staff. And those are all factors. You know, those are all things that the coaching staff and especially the personnel group are going to look at. Again, in their determination, they see a really talented kid who could turn into something special. And that's why they felt it necessary to go get him. Again, they could be wrong. They could be right. But it's clear that that is the plan, that he is the guy. I mean, Ron Wolf had Brett Favre. Ted Thompson had Aaron Rodgers. Brian Gutekunst has laid his claim and planted his flag on Jordan Love.
And look, that's the other hypocritical thing when we're like, the Packers are idiots. It's like, listen, every time somebody doesn't have a transition at quarterback, they get called an idiot. So which,
and there's the thing. What's the worst time to look for a quarterback?
When you don't need one. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it absolutely is.
But the problem, and then the counter push to that is, why did they give Aaron Rodgers the contract? And I think that's sort of the question. Like, if you get Jordan Love's fifth year option and you're trying to decide if you want to sign him,
if you want to move, that is, I mean, it flies in the face of the modern NFL in the sense of we've seen we've seen several teams have success building a roster around a rookie quarterback contract, right? And that's kind of the new way. And the Packers certainly don't seem to be in a position to take advantage of that if they're going to be sitting Love for at least 2 years. Now, there are all sorts of like new fangled ways they can work basically jettisoning Rodgers out after 1 year if they want.
Sure.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's there for at least 2 more years.
Okay.
But I hear you on the contract. The only thing I would say is it's the thing that never gets talked about when it comes to that extension. No one mentions the fact that Rodgers, when they signed him to that extension, he was heading into a year where actually the rest of his past contract had zero guaranteed money in it, left in it. Mm. So he was going to take the field that year with zero guarantee.
And how do you think that sits with a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I just never, and that's the thing. I just don't – there was no rumblings of it, nothing reported, but I have to think that if push had come to shove, Aaron may have not thrown a stink, but things could have gotten dicey between him and the Packers. So especially for a guy who played way below market value for a number of years.
Sure.
I remember, years past when Mark Sanchez was making more than Aaron Rodgers.
say that out loud.
And
right?
he did that for years.
Yeah.
So I think that
without, by the way, the credit that Tom Brady
gets all the time. Gets. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it was the franchise probably moved, in deference to what he had done. The fact that there were so many people in that building who have jobs because of him.
Sure.
I think they did make a little bit of the cardinal sin where you pay someone for what they've done rather than what you project them to do. But hell, if there's a guy in the NFL who's earned it, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Sure. I mean, look, he brought him a Super Bowl and came pretty close to doing it last year. I think the one thing, and again, this is not something Aaron Rodgers did, but I don't know how they could have done it to structure it better, but take a bigger cap hit early on in the contract. Or, you know what I mean?
Structure it so,
look, Aaron Rodgers is not going to sign a deal where there's no guaranteed money in 2022 and 2023 and the Packers can just walk away from it. I mean, $17 million dead cap hit in 2022 is not crazy. So I think you're right. 2 years is probably the minimum you have.
It's the first realistic exit point. It really is. And he's obviously, I mean, he already did one adjustment a couple months ago prior to the start of the offseason where he switched up some bonus money to free up about $11 million worth of cap space for him this year. So it's not like he's, completely closed off to the idea of reworking things and giving them a little help, et cetera. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they navigate those waters. There's no doubt that it's so funny. I was doing a Twitter Q&A the other night and someone said, over under 2.5 years until Jordan Love makes his first start. I'm like, how do you not take the under on that?
Well, yeah.
Do you think they're going to let him sit for 2.5 years?
Right.
I'd be shocked.
Also, if the Packers are 3-13 or 13-4.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's say they're 6-6 they're out of the playoff hunt. They're going to start Love in week 17.
They're going to try and get him on the field at least.
Or he gets hurt.
Kind of timeshare. Or he gets hurt. Exactly. Right. I mean, here's the other thing that, doesn't get addressed a whole lot, but Aaron Rodgers is not, the Superman we got used to for so long. He's definitely not the run the table version that we saw in 2016. Yeah. He had a decent year last year. For him, a decent year is better than most quarterbacks, especially numbers wise. But you don't have to look much further than, tape against some of the better defenses to see that he's not the guy who carried this team for a decade plus. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, but it's clear that, He's on the back nine of his career as he had that is those are his words.
I don't think
it's crazy for the Packers to be looking to the future for a transition.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk Packers defense.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, so Green Bay, this is like Brian Gutekunst came in and Aaron, this feels like 400 years ago when he took over.
Right.
But like he comes in and does the thing that Ted Thompson had steadfastly refused to do forever, outside of the Charles Woodson signing, and he makes a splash in free agency, and he brings in the Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, and the Packers defense, I think took a big leap forward. Felt like it, right?
That's the question, right? Is it did. I mean, in the sense of they improved, they got off their quarterback in a way they hadn't in the last couple of years. But look, Brian took advantage of the fact, he took advantage of the moment, right? It was clear. I mean, even before they suffered a ton of injuries on the defensive side of the ball in 2018, it was very clear that they were not up to snuff talent-wise. The talent level had completely eroded. A lot of that was due to the fact that Ted Thompson had been deteriorating himself those last few years in charge. Russ Ball, who was a cap wizard who has no business making personnel decisions, was making some personnel decisions. Mm. And Murphy finally made the transition to Brian Gutekunst, and Brian saw an opportunity where they had a ton of cap space. He knew they needed a complete overhaul on defense, and that's what he did between the Smith signings, the Adrian Amos signing, and then two first-round picks, both on the defensive side of the ball. Clearly, he saw what needed to be done. Now, you could argue kind of let things go as far as the wide receiving group, et cetera, like their weapons on offense. I think the signing of Jimmy Graham is one of the worst moves he's made, but you cannot argue with the fact that the defense did turn around, and it definitely struggled against the run. We all saw that in the NFC Championship game. I think it was a theme all year long, although they did a better job of kind of clamping down the second half of the season. But you cannot deny they got after the quarterback. Their pass defense was much improved, and again, they forced a ton of turnovers, and they were great in the red zone. And you're going to win a lot of football games with that kind of mix of components. And I think, you know, I don't expect them to take much of a drop this year. But the big question is can they stop the run? Because they really struggled there last year.
Right. And you have a bunch of teams in the division, too, in the Bears, Vikings, and Lions, all of whom want – and the Packers played those teams pretty well last year. But, like, they all want to run the football. Like, we've been asking, like, everybody, what is a successful season for their team?
And I mean, I've said it all offseason. I'll continue to say it through camp, barring injury, because that's always the caveat, right? I very much expect them to have not as many wins, probably hovering around 10, 11 wins. Maybe not even win the division, but I do think they'll make the playoffs. And after that, anything can happen. We've seen it a million times in the NFL, especially in recent vintage. It will be interesting to see how much this really odd offseason plays into not just the season in general, but especially the start of the season. I think teams with more continuity are going to be in a better position. And obviously the Packers have a ton of it because they didn't make a ton of moves. They didn't upset their apple cart, so to speak, when it comes to personnel. So I think especially on offense, that really helps them going into a second year. Most of the pieces they had last year are back. They've added a few. So, yeah, I think 10, 11 wins is probably where I expect them to be. Now, could they win 13 games again? Yeah, absolutely. Could they, you know, could they become a real kind of force? I don't know. You know, the NFC, it's pretty wide open. I think you see the top teams. I think the Packers could beat any one of them other than the 49ers, who I think is the kind of the bugaboo, right? The monster under the bed, so to speak, when it comes to Packers fans, at least when they look at this 49ers team.
Well,
whooped them twice last year. It's like, how have we improved in that regard?
It almost felt a little bit like, remember when Baker Mayfield kicked the crap out of Hugh Jackson? Felt a little like that with Shanahan and Mike Patton.
Kyle and yeah, a little bit. I feel that. I definitely feel that. To me, not even talking about the relationships between the staffs or the players or anything, but to me, it really harkened back to when the Packers were knocking on the door for years in the 90s when Favre and the Packers could never get past the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Cowboys were just bigger, stronger, faster. I mean, both of those games, you got to look at that tape and say, yeah, 49ers are just bigger, stronger, faster.
Both of them were ass kickings.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't see if they run into that buzzsaw again, I mean, they do play them in the regular season again. God help us on a short week in prime time. You know, I don't expect things to change significantly. I think they need better plans on both sides of the ball. But for the most part, otherwise, I don't see a team that they should fear. I don't see a team that you go in there thinking, oh, they're going to lose this one. You know, so that's all you can ask. Just get in the dance. I think they will. Then anything can happen.
I would agree with that. I think expanded playoffs makes it very likely that the Packers get in. I would not take the over on their win total at 10.
Right.
I don't know that I would take the under at nine though either. Like I'm not banking on this team being an 8-win team. It's entirely possible.
That's right. The thing. You cannot possibly be an even kind of, you know, passerby observer of the NFL.
You shouldn't be. There are lots of them, but you shouldn't be.
Yeah. But, you know, and not think, okay, yeah, I could see how that would be. They don't win the close ones like they did last year. Maybe, you know, the offense is just continues to kind of stub its toe at times, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden they're 9-7, 8-8.
Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV, good friend of the program. Always fun to talk to you, buddy. Packers could be a big season coming up.
Well, I can't wait to find out. We're so close.
Please give us football.
Just give us football. I don't care if there's no fans. I don't care. I'll wear earmuffs on my head. I don't care. Just give
me Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Will.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.